As you noticed in the bulletin, we have had our building fund contribution this morning, and if you were forgotten about that or unaware of that, of course you can still give money to Mike, who'll take care of that. If there's something you'd like to give in that regard, we appreciate your continued generosity in that effort that we are part of and looking forward to the future. Tomorrow is the last day of the year, and we'll be 2019, Lord willing, the day after. And some of you probably, you're growing up, thought 2019. I can't even imagine being alive and what that would look like. You probably thought we'd be in spaceships and flying around, and doors would just slide open when you walk up to them, and all the things you see in movies like that. But the Lord has blessed us, and we've lived this long to see these days, and we're thankful for that. We'll have our fellowship meal after service tonight, this being the fifth Sunday of the month. On fifth Sundays, we want to do that just to spend time together. So be preparing for that this evening. We know we have a lot of our several families not with us today. Still, of course, children still out of school this week, and a lot of traveling and being with family and friends. So we knew our numbers would be a little down the last couple of weeks, but that's normal. We pray for those who are traveling. Continue to keep Ms. Mainly your prayers, who had the accident, Lisa Smith's niece, and she's in very critical condition, Vanderbilt. And keep her in your prayers, as well as others we had mentioned. Let's go to our Father in prayer before our lesson. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for abundant blessings. We are thankful that you have blessed us in this year, 2018. We know that we did not have this year guaranteed to us, that every day that we live this year was a blessing from you, and that, Lord willing, we will live an entire 2019. And we pray that in this coming year that we're more faithful than we were in 2018, and that we can recognize areas of our lives that need improvement spiritually, that we will confess our sins more quickly, that we will forgive others more quickly, that we will study more and worship more and do all the things that we need to do to be a brighter light into this dark world. Because we know that Satan is active every day and is tempting us and trying to draw us away from your word and from your promises. But we know that your promises are true. We know that you prepared a place for us in heaven, and we look forward to that reward one day. We pray for those who are traveling, and we pray for their safety when many more are on the road this time of year than usual. We pray that you be with those who are hurting, be with those who are suffering at this time. We pray that we know that this time of year is difficult for many. It is not as joyous for some as it is others. We pray that you lift the spirits of those who are hurting emotionally. Bless us as we open your word and study these things this morning. May your word penetrate our hearts and our minds so that we can be more like Christ. Forgive us and love us. Give us mercy and grace. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
AV mute one.
There you go.
There we go. I'm going to turn it off, turn it back on. Would it be nice if we could see the world through someone else's eyes? But we can't. You love to be someone else and live their lives so you could see things through their eyes and see the great things they have and the world that they live in. You look up to people and say, well, it would be great to be that person and see life the way they see life. It'd also be good to see life through someone else, because then they could look at you. And we could really see how the world sees us. It'd be a tremendous blessing. Because how we think of something is a lot of times we think, well, that's the way it is. That's the way I'm projecting myself to the world, is what's in my mind. You've heard it said many times. I've said it many times. You've probably read it other places, that we judge others by their actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions. When we look at someone else and say, I'm going to judge you by what you did. You did this, you did that. And they'll say, I didn't mean to do this. I don't care. That's what you did. And I'm just going to judge you on what you did. But when somebody points the finger at us, we say, well, I didn't mean to. What was in my mind, why I did it was, you know, don't judge me on my actions. Judge me for what I meant to do. And of course, that's not fair, but that's just simply how things go. The main point of the lesson this morning is simply God looks at the heart. And you know where that verse and that setting where that was said, when Samuel went out to anoint the next king after Saul had really, the first king of Israel had really lost that privilege, lost that opportunity. He became the king but had essentially lost his mind, had not defeated the Amalekites as he should, did all the things that became very displeasing to God. And Samuel went out to find the next one. He said, this one's going to be different than Saul. Saul was really tall, and he looked like a king, and he had all the outward appearance of a king, but he didn't have the character. And Samuel, and going through the process of looking at David's family, finally comes to David and says, this is the one. And he says, you know, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We always need to remember that. Whether you're looking at someone else, whether they're looking at you, no matter where you may find yourself in life, the best way to think about things, the best perspective to have, is to remember that God looks looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. There was a man named Robert Burns, a famous poet, who wrote a poem called To a Louse. And the poem is about this woman who comes into an assembly, and she has a really nice hat on, and she's dressed well, and she looks good, and she thinks everybody notices just how good she looks and how prim and proper and wealthy and all those types of things. But actually, all they see is this little louse she has on her hair. That's the only thing they notice. But then she thinks they notice how good she looks. And the statement in that poem at the end is, if we could only see ourselves as others see us. I would say that in anyone's life, I think it's safe to say that in anyone's life, they lie to themselves more than they lie to anyone else. Even people that you would consider very dishonest, who lie to other people all the time, I think even that person probably lies to themselves more than they lie to anyone else. We are in the business of self-deception so often. And it goes both directions. We think we're better than everyone else on a particular subject, or, you know, we're so great, and that's a lie. Then some people think of themselves so poorly. I'm no good at this. I'm no good. I can't do anything. Everybody else has got it better than me, and that's a lie too. It's so very hard for people to give an honest evaluation of themselves. The question that I first want us to think about this morning is, how do you see yourself? What do you see? What do you think about when it comes to how you see yourself? Five times in the book of Proverbs, we have the phrase where the Bible says that someone is being self-deceived. They are self-deceived. It says, Proverbs says, they see themselves as always right. Know anybody like that? Anytime that anything they do, or anything that how they evaluate something, is always right. The Bible says they are self-deceived. Others see themselves as always pure. They're clean. It goes on to mention some other ways in which people are self-deceived. The Bible says people look at themselves all the time the wrong way. And of course, when it begins with a thought, it leads to an action. You're self-deceived. You're going to do things that are not right. You're going to go down the wrong path. You're going to try to please the wrong person. And all sorts of problems arise from that. How do you see yourself? Some people say, I'm the greatest parent. I'm the greatest parent. If kids were just raised in my house, they wouldn't do what they did. Can't believe they do this. Can't believe they do that. Let their kids do this. Let their kids do that. And I know everything there is to know about parenting. I just need to tell everybody else how to raise their kids. And boy, the world would be a lot better place. Some people say, you know, I'm the greatest investor. I know how to use money. I can't believe they bought that. I can't believe they live in that house. I can't believe they drive that car. I just can't believe that they're not saving this money. And I can't believe they invested it in this thing. They should have invested it in that thing. They have all the answers for anything involved with money. They are the greatest investors in the world. Some say, I'm the greatest Bible scholar. Open up to any passage of Scripture and point your finger at a verse, and somebody will say, I know what that means. I know how to interpret that. I have all the answers regarding anything, any church, any place, any subject that comes up. I really can't be taught anything. I'm beyond learning. At some point in my life, some day in my life, I decided that I can't be taught the Bible anymore. And now the rest of my life, I'm just going to tell everybody what the Bible says about anything in any verse. And how I see that, of course, is exactly right. We could make a long list of things like this, where people put themselves in a position of right about all of them. Romans 12, verse 3 says, you ought not to think more highly of yourselves than you ought. The Bible in the New Testament talks about don't elevate yourself to a place you shouldn't be. Putting yourself on a pedestal. Putting yourself in an elevated position of I'm always right. The Bible says that's being self-deceived. You can be wrong about anything. And if you notice, most of the time when we say I know it all on this subject, most of the time when somebody says that, you know full well that they haven't talked to everybody, know all the facts, know all the details, have a very limited perspective. That person that says, I'm the greatest parent, well, they don't live in that other person's house. They don't know what that family goes through. They don't know how that child lives on a daily basis. And that investor thinks they know everything about money and how somebody else should spend their money. Well, they probably don't know if that family got an inheritance one day and got a lot of money. That's why they have what they have. It's not based on their income. They don't know anything really about their finances. The greatest Bible scholar probably didn't get a lot of education in the Bible and hasn't really done a lot of study. A lot of people would say that the greatest Bible scholar are the ones that simply, what it is I just want to teach others things that make me comfortable the way I want the Bible to be. Notice when somebody puts themselves on a pedestal like that regarding the Bible, that they always land on a position that doesn't challenge them at all and make them change anything. It always seems to land on a position that's very, very comfortable for that person. How do you see yourself when you look in the mirror? How do you evaluate your intelligence, your generosity? How do you evaluate your faith? But then the question is, how do others see you? Well, that's more difficult. You know, people say all the time, I don't care what somebody thinks about me. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Somebody says something negative about them, or they hear somebody said something negative. I don't care what they think. Well, why are you so upset? Doesn't matter why you're so upset. You know, you do care. You care what anybody thinks about you, because you're going to feel really good when a stranger or your best friend says something good about you, praises you for something. That's going to make you feel good. And it doesn't matter if it's a stranger or your best friend. When they say something bad about you, you're going to be upset. That's just the way it goes. You really do care. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, you know, a good reputation is very valuable. A good reputation is what you should want to have. You should want it more than you'd want gold. It's going to be the only thing you have left when the house burns down, when the money goes away, when all your possessions are no longer left. All you're going to have is your reputation. That's something that's always going to be there. It's okay to want people to think you're a good person. It's okay to want a good reputation. That's not bad at all. And you really do, when it comes down to it, care what other people think. But the crowd isn't always right. Even though we want a good reputation, even though we want people saying good things about us, the crowd isn't always right. You know that. You've lived longer than 5 minutes. And somebody could evaluate you based on a lack of information about things that are going on in your life. Jesus was supposedly, according to people that heard a little bit about him, heard a few things that he said, oh, they decided a lot of things about Jesus, and they were wrong. Said he was a fornicator. They said he was demon-possessed. Well, Timon said he was a drunkard, member of the League of Satan. Were they right? No. Well, they got a little bit of information here and saw a few things and, of course, had a bias against him from the beginning. So they were going to collect any negative information about him because they didn't like him to begin with. You want a good reputation. I know you do, but that doesn't... Remember that the crowd isn't always right. How do others see you? They may not see you the right way. We have to remember that. Most of the time when things, negative things are said about us or negative things done to us, it's done out of ignorance. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus said, this crowd that put me on the cross is ignorant. They don't have all the information. They're doing what they did based on wrong information. The same can happen to you. People do what they do against you, have an opinion of you, act against you out of wrong information or not enough information, just out of ignorance. And so that's why when we hear those things, we do our best not to let them affect us, because we say, well, they just don't know. They feel very strongly. They think they know. They don't know. The crowd can, of course, be wrong about you. They're wrong about Jesus. The crowd isn't always right. Athletes and movie stars are improperly elevated in society, are put up as high moral people of character, you know, high character people. And again, because we admire them, what they do in the field or in the movie, and so we look up, and so they say something good or do something good, and so, wow, look at what a tremendous person they are. Would you really know that person? Of course not. And it's, when anybody does anything good, we should support that. It's not that we should be overly negative against an athlete or a movie star who does something good or gives money to something. Of course that's a good thing. But should we really put them on the pedestal that culture can do so quickly? And say, wow, look at how amazing this person is because of this amount of generosity. I mean, preachers, even parents, teachers, I mean, deified. The crowd can be wrong in that direction. The crowd can be wrong in the negative direction, like the word of Jesus. The crowd can be wrong in the positive direction. And look at people and say, they're just flawless. They're perfect. Can't imagine them doing this. Can't imagine them doing that. Can't imagine my child doing this. Can't imagine them doing that until you wake up one day and they did it. And one of the reasons the children do it, sometimes the reason children do it is because you thought they would never do it. And you just put down your guard and got a little more lax and just said, well, they'll never get involved in something like that. And then they do. We can elevate our own children. We can elevate parents. We can elevate preachers. We can elevate teachers. We can elevate anybody to a position, a place that is not rightly theirs, and we really shouldn't be in the business of doing that anyway. How do others see you? A good reputation comes from living a faithful life, not from trying to be popular. You want to have a good reputation, and we said that's good if you want to have that good reputation. You should want others to think of you in a good way. But if your goal is to say, I want everybody to like me, I want everybody to think I'm great, that leads to a lot of two-faced living. When we're around this person wants me to act a certain way, talk a certain way. Okay, I'll do that with them. They'll like me, but I'll go over here to this person and well, they want a completely different version of me, so I'll give that to them. And now we have a hypocrite. We have an actor. We have somebody who's just trying to please everybody else. The Bible never tells us to do that. The Bible never tells us to be crowd pleasers. How do you want me to act? Okay, I'll act for you. What will make me popular? The Bible never says be popular. The Bible never says please the crowd. The Bible says be faithful. The Bible says serve the Lord. The Bible says that when we shine the light for Christ, others will see our good works, respective of others. They will see our good works and do what? Glorify us? No. Jesus said, they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. They won't put you on a pedestal. What they'll do is they'll put God on a pedestal. And they'll say, wow, look at that person who's a faithful Christian. Look at how content they are in life. Look at how well they live. I want to live like, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Christ because I can see how Christ changed this person's life. The most important perspective of all is how God sees you. The Bible says we're in the business of self-deception, how we see ourselves. We can see ourselves as too good or too bad. We can say that we're the greatest teacher, we're the greatest parent, we're the greatest investor. Others can be right about how they see us, and they can also be wrong about how they see us. But really, the only perspective that makes any difference is how God sees us. The only one that really, ultimately matters. Nothing enraged Jesus more than hypocritical Pharisees. Matthew 23, Jesus gave one of the most cutting speeches ever in his ministry about the hypocrisy of Pharisees. He says, because I can see both of you. I can see all of you. I can see the outside part of you, these Pharisees. I can see that you walk down the street wanting to be known as a great Bible scholar. And to be known that way, you put on the right clothes, and you love it when you get to sit at the head of the table, so to speak, as we would say it today, the place of honor. And you love it when people notice that you're fasting because you look so sad and so hungry. He said, I can see that, and that's the part that everybody else can see too, but the difference is they can't see the inside. And he said, these people are like whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you've got this tomb that looks very clean and very protected, and it looks really good, really shiny. He said, on the inside, it's just dead men's bones. The real truth of the matter, the way I see things, is that this is all a fraud, and it's not faith. It's just trying to elevate yourself. And he said, that's being an actor. And we have a Greek word for actor that we translate to the word hypocrite. You're putting on a show. It's not who you are. You'll see, I want to have that reputation with Jesus. The crowd can only see the outside. We can only see the result. Jesus says, I can see the outside and I can see the inside. 19 times in Scripture we have the phrase of something being in the sight of God. If you go to the last, the first, or chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, and those letters to those churches, over and over to each of those churches, the Lord says, I know this, 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 and this. Next church, I know. I know. To every one of those churches. Well, the church at Ephesus didn't know everything going on with the church at Smyrna. Church at Laodicea didn't know everything going on with the church at Philadelphia. Who did? The Lord. The people didn't know what was going on in the life of the Pharisee behind the scenes. Who did? The Lord. So our goal should be to have ourselves in a place where we're comfortable with that. We're good with that. We're not ashamed for the Lord to see us exactly how we are. Not because he'll see a perfect person, but they'll see a faithful person. He won't see an actor. He'll just see somebody who's trying to please him every day. As has been said many times, you're not as bad as people say you are, and you're not as good as people say you are. It's the same thing can be said of how you see yourself. You're not as bad as people as you think of yourself, and you're not as good as you think you are. If we can remember that, it probably will help us to stay on balance, to give ourselves a correct evaluation, correct perspective. Our goal should be to please God, then you and others will have the right perspective on your life. Please God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't wake up in the morning thinking, I wonder what so-and-so is going to think about me today. Wonder what this person at work is going to think about me today. I hope they like me. Just wake up in the morning and say, what can I do today for the Lord? What can I do today to serve that person? What can I do today to contribute? And when that's the goal, we know that Jesus will see us the way that we want him to see us, and the way that will lead to our salvation. How does the Lord see you? How do you stand before the Lord? We said a couple of weeks ago, there's just a few stages of life in which everyone lives. There are those in a stage called being lost, that have never obeyed the gospel. Maybe that's you this morning, that you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to do so today, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you have a perspective of in life that's very negative. Maybe you see yourself the way you ought to see yourself. You have the right perspective on yourself where you're not as faithful as you need to be. We'd love to pray with you today and try to help you with that, if that's what you need. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing together.